How exciting it is to be here this morning. Thank you. All right, so I really want to carry on from where Steve left off last week. And I'm going to read the same psalm that he read last week, and it's a really great psalm. I love it. There's so much in it. Because we're talking about David, and we're talking about the psalms that he wrote and the experiences that he went through and how that is reflected in the psalms that we read, the ones that he wrote. So we're looking at Psalm 23 again. Well, I'm going to be looking at the story of David in a minute. And if you've read the newsletter, you know what the title is, and you probably can guess what the story is. Maybe, I don't know. You can have a think about that. But here's the psalm. It says, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He leads me to rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along paths, bringing honor to his name." Just pressed the wrong thing on the phone. Okay. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley," or other translations put, "the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a table or a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint me with you are anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." That is one of the psalms, and like Steve said last week, it's like David was a man who knew God and trusted God, and out of knowing God, he was able to write the psalms and the songs that he did. And often I reckon that as he was writing the psalms, he probably had like stories from his own life in his head while he's writing some of the psalms. And I'm wondering whether that's verse 4 where he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," or the darkest valley, I'm wondering whether the story that I'm going to tell this morning was the one that was in his head when he wrote that verse. So today I'm going to actually tell a story. So I want you to pretend that you're back in primary school and you're really excited about a story. Steve's literally pretending. He's crossed his legs. He's sat on the floor, crossed his legs. I don't know whether you'll sit like that the whole story.
I might just start talking as well.
No, we are going to fold our arms. We're going to put one hand up and over. That's what we used to do in school. Did you do that? Anyway, no, we're going to have a story, and it's a story from David's life. It's a true story, and you can read it in Psalm 1 Samuel 17 verse 1-4. And I'm going to read bits of it, and I'm going to just describe bits of it, because it's quite a long passage. It starts off, the first part is verse 1-4. It says, "Now the Philistines mustered their army for battle and camped between Socah in Judah and Ezekah at Ephazadamim. Paul countered by gathering his Israeli troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistine and the Israelites faced each other on opposite sides of the hill with the valley between them." So can you get that picture in your mind? There's an army on this side and there's an army on that side. And they're facing each other, and between them is a valley that is a potential dark valley with the shadow of death. Verse 4, "Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall, and in English, that's 2.74 meters tall. Now, I'm personally 1.35 meters tall, so he's twice me. So think me on top of me, that's how tall he was, okay? Pretty tall guy. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. That's 57 kilograms. 57 bags of sugar he's wearing on his, around him. He also wore a bronze leg armor and carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds, that's 7 kilograms. His armor bearer walked ahead of him. Okay, this is one big tough guy. A proper warrior, someone who knows how to fight. So strong that he's wearing all this like really heavy stuff. And then he goes on, he comes out of the ranks and he's standing opposite the Israeli army, and he's saying, he shouted a taunt across to them, and he says this, "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am a Philistine champion, but you are only servants of Saul. Choose one of your men to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves, but if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the Israeli armies today. Send a man who will fight me." Ah! Okay, this tough guy is calling for one man. Now, out of the entire Israeli army at the time, who was the tallest? Steve mentioned it last week. Do you know who the tallest man was? You mentioned it. Someone was head and shoulders above everyone else.
Saul.
Yes. Saul. The king of Israel, the one that was the head of the army, was the tallest. And so one might think that he would be the one who would be the best person to fight Goliath. However, when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. So, big, tough, tall. It's not quite so big and tough. He's terrified. What on earth, what hope has the rest of his army got if the tallest, strongest man in Israel refuses to fight? Okay, so that is what is happening. And that seems to be happening day after day. There's no fighting going on. There's just this standoff between the Israelites and the Philistines. And every day, this giant comes and gives his taunts and calls for someone to come and fight him. Okay. Now, back to David. David is still at home because he's not a warrior at this point. He's still a shepherd, still looking after his dad's sheep. And his dad calls for him, Jesse calls for him, and asks him to take some supplies to his brothers and find out how they're doing, what's going on at the battlefield, how are they doing, are they okay? So David, obediently to his father, takes his cheese or whatever he's carrying, the supplies to the battle line. Oh, gosh, these are quite irritating, aren't they?
Sorry.
Keep knocking them, and every time you knock this, it resounds. So David goes to the battlefront from his sheep. And when he gets to there, he sees the situation. He's looking at it, and he goes and finds out from his brothers what is happening. And while he gets to his brothers, Goliath comes out with his usual taunt and starts taunting them again. "I defy you, send one, someone to come and fight me from your ranks," etc. So David's like his heart begins to stir at this point. He's hearing this Goliath taunting Israel, God's people, and something begins to stir in the heart of David. And so he asks the soldier nearby, he asks his brothers, what are the people by him, and saying, what will happen for the man who goes and fights him? Is there going to be some sort of reward or anything? And the men said, he explains who he is. He comes to defy him each day, and the king has offered a huge reward for anyone who kills him. He's going to give that man one of his daughters as a wife, and this man's entire family won't have to pay taxes. Now, that sounds like a good deal to me. But even with that really great deal, so far, no one has been strong enough or courageous enough to say, yeah, I'll do that. So David's like heard this story, and he's like, wow, that sounds like a really good deal. I wonder if, is this guy exaggerated or something? So he then asks the soldiers nearby what was going to happen for the man. So he asks the question because he's like thinking, that's a really good deal. And the man gives the same answer. So David is going round the camp asking what is going to happen, who's this, what's happening. And his brother finds out, his brother hears, and his brother, oldest brother, Eliab, hears this, and he's like, somehow he's a bit angry with David. He's like, what are you doing here anyway, he says. Why have you even come? Why are you asking all these questions? Why are you here? You're just a shepherd boy. You should go back to your sheep. You're just so proud, you're conceited. And he has a real go at David, and he was like, what have I done? What have I done? I was only asking a question. So he's asking the questions, and someone takes note that there's actually someone who is interested in the possibility of fighting Goliath. And that word then gets back to Saul the king. There's someone excited and potentially willing to go and fight this man. So Saul calls for David. And as David approaches the king, by this time, I really believe faith has risen so powerfully in David. His heart for the people of Israel, his heart for God, is just really strong right now. The anointing of God that is on him, as you know, he was anointed by Samuel last week. Steve shared that story. So he's got the anointing of God on him. He is going to be the future king, and right now that is beginning to stir in his heart. The prophetic word has been there. It's stirring in him. And so here he is. He comes before Saul. And the first thing David says is like, don't worry. Don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go and fight him. Now, this is a shepherd boy wearing shepherd boy clothes. He ain't got any armor on. He's just stood there in front of the king in his regular shepherd boy clothes, yes. And Saul's like, don't be ridiculous. Like, there's no way you can fight that. I mean, it wouldn't even put you against one of, like, the weakest ones. You haven't never fought. You're not an army person. You're just a lad. Just a kid, just a boy. You're too young. But David persisted because he's got the heart. He knows what God is telling him on the inside. He knows that what is going on is absolutely wrong. This man should not be defying the armies of the living God. And then David says something really interesting. He says, listen, when I was taking care of my father's sheep, when a lion or a bear came to steal one of the lambs from the flock, I'd go after him. I'd club it to death. I'd get the lamb back out of its mouth and I'd rescue it. So David might have looked like a weak little shepherd boy, but oh my, he knew how to protect his own. And when there was something coming against him, he knew how to fight. He learned how to fight, how to be who he was in solitude, out there alone as a shepherd. So he kept persisting, I really want to fight this man. So eventually Saul agreed. He's like, okay, then all right, go ahead. If you think so, the Lord be with you. He can almost hear the sort of like in his voice as you read it. Well, I can. It's like sort of like, well, the Lord be with you, sort of thing. And so Saul put his own armor on David. Put a bronze helmet on, his coat of mail, strapped up his sword, and poor David, bless him, he took one or two steps and he's like, not a chance. I can't wear this. I can't even move, let alone fight with this on me. He's like, I can't wear somebody else's armor. I can't do it your way. So he took the armor off. He took it off, he laid it aside, and he was who he was. He went out to fight Goliath with his shepherd armor on, shepherd clothing, his little bag, and on the way he picked up 5 stones and stuck them in his bag, his staff and a sling. And he made his way down into the valley. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Your rod and your staff, they're the ones that comfort me. So he's walking down into the valley, and Goliath is walking towards David. And Goliath is just like, he's overwhelmed with like laughter at this point, because he sees this weak little boy coming towards him. He's not even got any armor. And he's just like sneering and laughing with contempt. Am I a dog, he roared, that you come at me with a stick? He tried cursing David with the names of his own gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals, Goliath roared. This is David's response. I love David's response. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with spear and sword and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defiled. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone will assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, and he not with a sword or a spear. The Lord is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. What faith. What faith. So here he is there, walking down into the valley. Big, tall Goliath with all his armor. David with a little staff and a bag and a sling. And he says, as he's coming towards Goliath, David began to run towards him. He picked up the stone out of his bag. He stuck it in this sling, and the sling's like one of those ones where it like holds the stone like that. There's two like straps, and you like swing it round, and then you let go of one of the straps, and as you let go of one of the straps, the item throws out of the sling into the direction that you want it to go. So David, he's really good at using the sling, clearly, because he's like, he comes down and he's like, and he lets go of the sling, and the little stone It's just a little stone, flies out into the air, across the rest of the valley, and hits Goliath directly in the middle of his forehead, his temple there. And it is flying at such a speed, just think, it's like, that it embeds into his brain. It just goes straight in, just completely bamboozles him. He's completely stunned, and his brain's now beginning to shut down. And it says that Goliath just stood there and then slowly fell face forward. You could just see it. He's just like, shoot, and he's like, flop. And Goliath, this amazing, strong giant of a guy, is lying flat on his face in front of David, who's coming in the name of the Lord God Almighty. David then fulfills what he said he was going to do. He runs over to Goliath, takes out Goliath's sword, and chops his head off. I don't know how many times he needed to do that. I'm not sure. But it's like, the head flies off, and he picks up the head. And at that point, the Philistine army go into absolute abstract panic and start running away. And the other guys, the Israelites, they get like really quite excited by this, because suddenly they realise that God is fighting for them, and they muster their strength and their faith, and they start to run after the army, and they defeat the army. And there is a victory for Israel that day. What a story. And you can see now why, you know, when David's writing Psalm 23 or some of the other Psalms, he's like, you know, even when I'm going through that, I'm heading into a dark, potential, serious valley here. God is with me. And I'm on his side and he's on my side, and it's going to be okay. I will not fear. So that story took place a long time ago. Does it have any relevance for today? Is there anything that we can take from it today? Yeah, of course there is. So I've got 4 points. I don't even know what time I started preaching. I've got 5 minutes or so. Are we all right? Are we all good?
Yeah. Are we all good?
All right. We've got 4 quick points. Firstly, and this Steve said this last week, and I'm just going to repeat it because it's really important. David didn't just know about God, he knew God. And there's a difference there. Okay? He got to know God personally. And the wonderful thing about what Jesus did on the cross is that every single one of us now have access to get to know God personally through Jesus Christ. When David writes, there's another psalm that David wrote, it's Psalm 18, and Andy read it at the beginning of the service. I'm going to read the first 3 verses again, and I want you to note how personal this psalm is. Okay? David begins with, I love you, Lord. So it's Psalm 18, 1-3. He begins with, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. Lord, you are my rock, my fortress, my saviour, my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. It's really personal. And that's what God wants for you and for me. He wants our thoughts to be personal. The things that we write about him, the things that we talk about him, when we get to know him, that we know him so well that we can say truly, God is my strength. God is my rock. my fortress. He's the one that saves me. Not just all the people around me in Glendale, that's brilliant, but me, little me. I say I'm little, I walk with a wobble, but he saves me. And he wants us to build that relationship with him by spending time with him, by talking to him, by listening to him, by reading his word, the Bible. That relationship will grow. The world is in turmoil at the moment. We know that. We only have to watch the news every day and it's like, oh my life. In these times, we need to know that God is my rock. No matter what is going on, no matter what ends up happening in our lives, good or bad, God is my rock. That's what he wants for his children. So that's number one. Number two, David didn't allow people to stop him from believing in God. So when he arrived and he saw what was happening with Goliath, and he's starting to ask the questions, and his brother tried to belittle him, try to say, you're just a shepherd boy, get back to the sheep. Who are you to even ask the question? And when he finally got before Saul, Saul is like, don't be ridiculous. You can't do it. David had faith in God, and he didn't allow the people around him to undo that faith. He trusted in God. It is easy sometimes to start to feel doubt when others around us have doubt. But be the person of faith, like David. Allow the faith to rise up and you know, be with God. Keep being with God. Keep praying. Keep seeking him. And when God shows you something, don't let go of it. Keep it. Believe it. Nurture it. Pray about it and declare it. That thing there on the wall controls the heating. It's called a thermostat. Okay. At the moment it's off because it's summer, but in the winter it controls where how much heat comes through the heaters. It's called a thermostat. We need to be thermostats, not thermometers. So a thermometer will tell you what the temperature is, but a thermostat controls the temperature. So when, you know, be that person who in the room is the person of faith. And imagine if we all chose that in every circumstance, how much faith there'd be. Does that make sense? So be a person who chooses to believe and trust God regardless of, even if our brothers say, I don't think you can do that. I don't think that's right. I don't think. Be a person of faith.
Come on.
Point three. Saul tried to get David to wear the armor. And David tried it and it didn't work for him. The point I'm making of this is don't try and be someone else. When God is calling you, when God is asking you to do something, or when you're in your workplace and you're, be who God has created you to be. Be the man of God, be the woman of God who you are. Don't try and fit into someone else's armor. Use what God has given you. If David had tried to fight Goliath, he may not have won because he couldn't even walk in the armor. Imagine like trying to get down the valley without being able to walk properly. Be who you are. I remember a time when I was in India. God had called me to India. It's quite a story. I won't go into the whole story now, but I'd had a dream, and then the next morning I woke up and a letter from India had come from a friend, and it was just all confirmation. And so I ended up out in India doing some work with a group of pastors and leaders. We led a week training conference. And it's really interesting that God asked me to go to northern India because it's a very patriarchal place. And most of the speakers and pastors, etc., they are men. And yet God has specifically called me to go, and I'd gone and I was doing this conference. And at the end of the week, it was really interesting. This one of the guys came up to me, and I won't try and do his accent because I might be offensive. But he came up to me and he said, thank you, but when I saw the poster, I misread it. I thought you were Pastor Paul. And when I arrived, I was very angry. I did not want to listen to a woman. And I'm like, weck. And he's saying this with a straight face, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. He's going to like... But he said, I wanted to leave, but I felt God say, no, don't leave. And I listened to you, and he said, you're a woman, but you are no ordinary woman. You carried the word of God this week. And I'm like, ooh. And he's like, thank you for coming, still with a very straight face. I'm like, you're welcome, sir. Like, thank you. And I thought, gosh, when God asks you to do something, even when the way is a little bit, like, impossible, he will open the door. Mm-hmm. Here I was, a woman, and not just a woman, a disabled woman for that, because they hide their disabled people away, don't they? They yeah, well, we won't go into that, but they don't, you know, disabled children they don't have, you know, if you become disabled, you end up begging on the streets. So for a disabled woman to be stood in front of this group of pastors and leaders, there were about 50 of them, it was quite remarkable, really. But it was God that opened the way. Now, I can't be anyone else. I am who God created me to be, but I just be me. And when God asks you to do something, the door opens and he is able to use, well, little old me, little wobbly me, and he can use you. And he used David, just a shepherd boy at the time, not strong, not you know, not a warrior, but someone who trusted in God. But he was himself. He wasn't put in a box like someone else, okay? So be yourself. And it's okay to be you. And finally, David knew the authority of the name of the one he stood in or represented. David knew the name of Yahweh had authority. When he faced Goliath, he said, I come to you against you in the name of Yahweh. We are representing God. We are his representatives. That's the word. Thank you, representatives. That gives us authority. When we are standing. Next, it's okay, don't worry. Kids are kids. It's all right. It's fine. When we are standing next to or in front of that giant, it may not be, most likely won't be a physical giant with armor or someone with a gun or anything like that, but there are issues in our life that are difficult at times, and we stood there facing our giants, our issues. We are coming in the name of Yahweh, in the name of Jesus. And that's why when Jesus said, you know, whatever you say, ask for in my name, in my authority, using my authority. It's not a little add-on at the end of your prayer. It's not meant for that. It's not, you know, sometimes we, in the name of Jesus, amen. It's a lot more than that. It's standing in his authority. Paul puts it slightly differently. He says, we are Christ's ambassadors in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to him, to God. We're representing God, but we have the authority of God. And so the prayers that we pray, the declarations that we make, and the actions that we give and do are really important and carry the authority of God. turn to the person next to you and say, remember, you are an ambassador of Christ. Ambassadors carry the authority of the kingdom they represent. Ambassadors carry the authority of the kingdom they represent, and we represent the kingdom of God. David represented God's kingdom that day on the battlefield as he ran into the valley of the shadow of death. He represented God. God backed him up, and God is there for you. He's there with you, and when you are developing that relationship with him, getting to know his heart, you know how to pray, you stand in his authority, and the victory is yours. May not look quite as, you know, who knows what the victory will look like, but you are on the victory side. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you have saved us. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you that we represent you, like David represented you and his armies of Israel at that day. We stand and we represent you. But Father, would you help us? Help us in our walk with you. Help us to develop deeper relationships with you. Help us to prioritize time to be alone with you and to talk with you and to learn from you. Help us to have the courage to step out of faith, in faith. Help us to have the courage to be ourselves and do what you're asking us to do with what you have given us to do. We worship you tonight, this morning, Father. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to come in and just stir our hearts. And draw us closer to you and increase our faith that we may be strong and powerful men and women of God in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.